KLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 8:35. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. If you are just joining us, as you know, yesterday our phone system failed, so they have ordered a new one. It will be in sometime on Monday, so we'll be back to regular business on Tuesday. But for today and Monday, we cannot take calls, guests or otherwise. Bill Diamond is here from Walk a Mile in Their Shoes, Kenny Chinquette, Eric's Church, Wayne Perry, Lobsterman first.
That's right.
Legislator second. And the beautiful Dee Dee Richardson. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got that right, Wayne. I said the other day, you and I don't always agree, but I would absolutely, without hesitation, allow my children to be in your care. And I don't say that about many people in elective office.
And I quickly reminded him that you did have my father in your care.
That's right. You did.
That's right.
Yes, you sure did. Yes.
Yep. Well, I've had Wayne in my care. So
yep. Yes, you have.
I've been in his principal's office.
You know, that doesn't surprise me a bit.
My dad is 85 years old, and he still says that that's one of the best experiences he has ever had.
Oh yeah. It was so funny that day when John came with him. It was like, oh my God. Well, the last time I saw John was probably junior high or whatever. And then he moved to Westbrook, I think, or whatever
it was.
He did. And the thing about it is he grew about a foot and a half. So it was like when I saw him, I didn't even recognize him at first. So it was funny.
And just for the audience, he's talking about John Cummings, who is our brother-in-law, married to Dee Dee's sister, Mary Margaret. So they went lobstering with you.
Yep.
They didn't work because they're not allowed to. We want to be cleared for the law.
Yeah.
But boy, I'll tell you, Tom has said so many times that was such a marvelous experience.
Yeah, it was a good
Something
time.
Something that was on his bucket list to do.
Yep.
And he just thoroughly enjoyed everything. And he grew up on the water. And he's always been a fisherman. So.
We call him the old man in the sea.
Yeah.
We do. That's how I refer to him, as the old man in the sea. You know, that was an apropos description of him. So during the break, we were having conversation about obvious gubernatorial candidates for both sides of the aisle. Do you guys want to continue that or not?
Sure.
It's so early that
it is. But I mean, are there any obvious? Let's just start with the Republicans.
No.
Are there any obvious gubernatorial candidates? Is there anybody out there that is talking about it who has a message and ability to articulate the message and raise money?
I think Bobby Charles is the only one that obviously the word name keeps getting thrown around. He's obviously interested, but I mean, I just...
Who is
nobody,
he?
Nobody knows
exactly
him.
Exactly, that's the problem. Like, he knows himself apparently very well, which is good. But yeah, no, I
Kenny, was that a...
I didn't say anything.
I don't know if anybody's shown interest yet. I mean, there's always names floated out there, you know? I mean, our good friend Sean Moody.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sean would be interested in running again. He could raise money, and would be okay there. I keep prodding, you know, Garrett Mason every once in a while, and Garrett was Senate majority leader, and fairly well known in that mid-Maine area.
If you'll remember in the primary against Sean, Garrett was considered the last horse, but he ended up being second. He ran a good race.
Yeah. And I don't know, and she can raise money, Laura Libby. I don't know if that's something that she would be, you know. But it's so early. I don't know if anybody that's going to end up in the end being there. A lot of people talk about it 2 years out.
Right.
But we won't know probably until this fall who has interest and go from there.
See, the thing, the challenge is the Republicans haven't done anything in this state in the last 10 years. So there is no, like, right. clear and obvious Republican. I mean, the only clear and obvious Republican in this state is Susan Collins, and obviously probably the Republicans wouldn't even nominate her for that, realistically. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who's left? I mean, Austin had a really good run, you know, should have probably beat Jared last go-around, but, I mean, aside from that, there isn't a lot. I mean, Laurel's right. making waves.
Yeah.
But aside from that, the Republicans don't stand up because we've been getting our butts whooped for the last 10 years.
I think Austin's going to run for CD2 again because I also believe Jared is going to run for governor after he won.
Yeah.
I think he's running for governor. And the guy, what's the guy's name that's now the Democratic chair? They're from that same area. I said before he got elected, if he got elected, that was absolute certain Jared's running for governor.
Well, I think you're probably right because over the last 3 weeks, Jared has tacked way to the left on a lot of stuff, and that's a primary run.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
He's got to start, you know, getting his far left base, so that's who shows up for primaries.
Right. Yep.
And you know, he's got to have that. So
difference is, you can look at the Democratic side and you say, "Oh yeah, she's running. Oh, she's yeah. running." He's yeah. on the Republican side. You say, "I don't know who that might be." So even though it's early, that better be fixed quick.
It's really not early, though, and here's why it's not early.
When did we know Paula Page was going to be the governor? So, I mean, that was literally in June of...
But it's not early 10. Because, you know, I say this all the time, and I'll say it again here. Democrats are great at politics, and they're terrible at policy. Yep. Republicans are good at policy, but we've been terrible at politics. Democrats are already working. You know when they started on the 26th election?
Yeah.
On November 6th.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so, but also we got to remember the advantage, and we haven't had anybody on the Republican side. The Democrats are very well funded.
Mm. Yes.
From national people.
Right.
The Soros absolutely. Groups and the Sussman groups and all them dump millions. So Democrats have full-time staff all the time, and I'm not talking three or four people at the headquarters.
Right.
You're talking hundreds of people, thousands of people that, you know, when you get millions of dollars every year that you know is going to go into your bank account on January 1st or whatever the day, you know, I mean, I think that's what puts them so far ahead.
Right.
And Republicans haven't had, you know, with Linda Bean passing, she was the one that would bankroll a lot of stuff.
Right.
And we don't have the person that's dumping in millions of dollars to have that base.
Well, we have a switched, you know, basically point of view as Washington, right? Yeah. Like you can say 10 names right now that would be the next Republican candidate for president.
Right.
You can't think of any for Democrats. We got the opposite situation here, right?
Exactly.
That's what
you know,
is.
One of the names being pushed around, and if he's listening, and I don't know if he does or doesn't, I know he has listened because of some friends who know him, but the name Jonathan Bush is being pushed around a lot. He's got a lot of money. So with money, you can buy name ID. And if Jonathan Bush is listening right now, this is not a knock against your family, but I just don't know that the Bush brand will sell in Maine.
Would never win a primary.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem that I've always said. I hate primaries because very few people show up, and you always get, and it's on both sides, usually. Yep. That it's
extreme people show up on our side.
Does Jared get elected in a primary with Shelley Pingree in there?
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that are Genovellos or pick your, you know, father left Democrat.
Yeah.
And does he even win a primary? Mm-hmm. You know, it gets to the point where, and it's that way on both sides, that's what's happened to Augusta, is the sides just get further and further and further apart. And I mean, like I've said, I've been spoiled. I've been on transportation for 7 terms. We haven't done a lot of partisanship.
Right.
You know, we've worked together. We worked together on getting the extra funding for highways, you know, 2 years ago with Democrats and convinced the governor to go along, you know, and stuff like that. But you just, it's getting so on everything in the chamber has gotten so partisan that every vote is 80-76.
Jesus.
Wayne, let me ask you this question. The name Laurel Libby was floated. She's getting some notoriety right now. But beyond that, House or Senate, is there anybody you look at and say, maybe that person could be governor?
I I don't know.
Standing on the street and looking in, you don't hear anybody. I mean, Sean Moody, I think, has all the characteristics to be
Sean
a successful
candidate.
Sean
would have been an awesome governor.
He'd have been a great governor.
He wouldn't have been as conservative as the conservatives would want. But guess what? We live in Maine.
Right.
Maine is a more blue state right today than New York, New Jersey, and Illinois.
Yeah.
According to the presidential vote.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean...
But see, Sean has brought with him now two times he's run for governor. One is an independent, one is Republican. I think he's the one that starts out if he wants to run, he's the one that's ahead and can get the most traction.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think he's... When people get to know him, how can you not like him?
It's impossible not to like Sean.
That's
Moody.
Right. So he's been... He's shown his stripes really well and earned them.
And he's a businessman, which has been a very successful one. Build it from scratch.
Right.
Everybody knows that story. I think there may be some appetite for a businessman in the Blaine House after the debacle financially of Janet Mills' administration.
Mm-hmm. And somebody that's willing to put people in charge of departments and stuff that know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, he knows how
not to just a payback, a buddy payback.
Right.
He knows how to build a team. Yeah, that's evident from what he's been able to do with Moody's. And he's also, you know, he's not a flamethrower guy. You know, he's a pretty, what I typically say about the guy, measured person.
Yep,
you know,
indeed.
Like Steve Abbott, when he's here, he's always measured. Dove Sachs, when he's here, he's always measured. Sean Moody's not a flamethrower guy. He's he's a guy that thinks through things.
He does.
And, you know, he's got a lot of street smarts, but he's got a lot of intelligence
as well. This will get me in trouble with the Republicans, is... I supported Steve Abbott for governor in 2010. So
there you go.
I know him, worked with him on fishery issues and stuff when he was with Governor
Steve
Collins' office.
Steve Abbott would be a tremendous governor, but I don't think he can win the primary.
No.
That's the problem. Steve Abbott would be, I believe, with his experience, a demonstrated experience, I think he'd be one of the best governors Maine's had.
Yeah, plus he's played hardball in the hardball game.
Yeah. Oh, he's played hardball when he has to.
Exactly. No, he's a good guy too. No question.
What about your buddy Travis Mills? He kicked the hornet's nest this week.
Yeah, he did. He was out in Hawaii for an event, and I talked to him a little bit, and we'll see. Travis had told me last fall that he wasn't going to run right now because his kids are young, and he wants to be where he can go to their events and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people pushing him to run right now. A lot of people pushing him to run. Whether he will or not, I don't know. We'll see.
Timing is everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Travis is a hard guy to vote against because of what he's given to the country.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
No matter how crazy our state's gotten government-wise, this is still a state that appreciates and loves veterans.
He cuts through a lot of things.
He sure does.
He gets right to the people who feel comfortable voting for him, for sure.
Yeah. So, but... You know, one of you said this, I think it was you, Kenny, that nationally, who's going to run for president on the Republican side in 28? Man, there's a whole bunch of names. J.D. Vance, obviously. Marco Rubio. Byron Donalds, the president, just endorsed him yesterday for governor of Florida. Yeah. He's already got a big national stature. He goes to Florida and does a good job. Man, I'm telling you, I love that guy. Yeah. I love that guy. What I'd love to see, because I think JD will be the one that's, if Trump does well, if Trump does well.
I don't think there's a very big primary.
Yeah.
If things go decent. But I mean, in talking about that and getting with all the Doge stuff and all that stuff going on right now, absolutely. Do we need to cut out a whole bunch of stuff out of federal government the money's getting thrown away?
Right.
Absolutely. I would look at it from the other angle, and as an approach person, Bill, you'll get this. They need to write a budget first.
Right.
I think in
isn't that
how you say things matters. If you talk cut, is all people are going to hear is I'm going to lose my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is we need to go back to pre-COVID spending. We spent $2 trillion extra for COVID. And we never stop doing it.
That's exactly right.
You need to go back to that number. It's just like at state government. Money's going to get spent. Go back to the 10-5 last budget. And let's start negotiating on how we spend the $700 million that we have in extra revenue.
Good point.
Yes, I think some of the money should go back to the people. Because you can't always take from the people and not give somebody back when you have extra money. But... why wasn't the negotiation at $10.5 billion and let's see what we can spend the $700 million on. Instead, we're negotiating from 11.6, and they're looking at taking it to 12.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're not even negotiating. It's whatever the Democrats want. It's what's going to happen.
Right.
You know? To your point, Wayne, the 2019 federal budget outlays
4.4
was 4.45, and in 2020 it was 6.55. And in 21, it was 6.82. It came down a little bit in 22 to 6.27, but now we're at 7.2.
But the thing is, and like I said about resetting, we just, and you say it this way, you reset it to 2019, we take out all that COVID spending, and we increase spending from there. We have about 5 or 5.2 of revenue, but I think the major thing that we've got to do it at federal level, because it's always I don't know what the word I want to use, badminton or tennis going back and forth, is Social Security and Medicare. Social Security and Medicare must be completely outside the federal budget. Mm-hmm. They have their own funding source. Both Social Security and Medicare have their own funding. Medicaid, you leave in the federal budget. Medicaid's a welfare program. Medicare, we've all been paying, I've been paying in for 48 years. And so it's one of those programs. Same thing with Social Security, is keep them totally separate. Ronald Reagan raised taxes on Social Security. Donald Trump, if necessary, could raise taxes on Social Security. The issue becomes, if you keep them totally separate, that is not the focal point every single budget cycle on fixing Medicare, fixing Social Security. Mm-hmm. You keep them totally separate. Our biggest problem right now is the service on the debt. It's right around $1 trillion or $1.2 trillion or whatever the number. Yeah. In 2019, that number was $376 billion, which is a huge number, but it's tripled. Mm-hmm. And what happens? We have got to stop adding to the $36 trillion debt. And we've got to do it right now. Because if you don't, if you cut the deficit by $1 trillion, and in 4 years, the debt is 40 or 42 trillion.
Yeah.
Your service on the debt's going to be 2 trillion. You're just not going to ever catch up if you don't stop adding to that debt number. We have got to get to a balanced budget. I realize nobody cares about deficits. We better care, because it's going to eat up so much of the budget, you're never going to be able to do anything.
If you don't do it with Trump right now, you're not going to do
never
it.
Gonna do
well,
it.
That's a fact. Right now, he's the most powerful guy going, yeah. And if he can't get it done, nobody can.
And that's why I wished Elon would go to the other side. Start the budget process. Start doing it there. You can find all these, and that's all he's done so far, is find waste and stuff.
Right.
No real actual cuts have happened yet.
Right.
The cuts happen in the budget.
When that's the funniest part of it all, isn't
when
it?
When you do the next budget, like the CR that's coming or whatever they're doing, get to September 30th. The new fiscal year starts October 1st.
Right.
That's got to be where there's a $5 trillion budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Susan
I don't
Collins
care how you
has
get
been
there.
Calling
you've
for
get
regular
there.
Order for years. We haven't passed a regular budget, and I don't know when. It's so far, so long ago. I don't
middle
remember
of Bush's
when we
term,
it.
I think.
Yeah.
Sometime
think,
in the middle of Bush's term.
I think
term.
That was right. We just keep doing this crazy stuff, and it's because of a total lack of leadership.
Well, it's like, that's right. It's like state government. You're not going to get, it's going to be a majority budget from now on until the Republicans can, sorry, Wayne, get their act together win one of those houses.
Yeah.
Or at least win the governors. And they've been impotent.
Yeah.
And it's too bad, because that's then led the other side to run a bad government, in my opinion.
Well, and this is another thing that'll get me in trouble with Republicans, and where Ray and I have our discussions regularly. We've got to get away from the social issues. You know, you don't give them up, but you don't make it the focal point.
Right.
And we've made it the focal point too much. And you have Republicans that aren't going to vote for a Republican if you have a staunch one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe as a social issue, the stuff that's going on right now, boys should not be playing girls' sports.
Right.
Sorry. Boys should not be in girls' locker rooms.
That's a 90-10 issue.
That's
too.
Right.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know,
90-10
that issue.
You
own that
right,
issue.
Right, absolutely.
But I'll go back to here, though, the abortion issue. Republicans don't bring it up. The Democrats and the media do, and they're forced to respond
with
it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said what I said earlier is what I believe. I believe we need a businessman who's conservative, but moderate on social issues. I don't think they should give up. I don't look. Right. The LD 1619 has to be repealed. It's the worst, most egregious abortion. It is actually, no matter what you think, it's actually murder. If you can abort a child up till birth, that's murder.
That's way past Roe v. Wade.
And it's way past what most people agree to.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I'm staunchly pro-life. Everybody knows that. But this is, you know, we've turned wacko here, so we're never going to get rid of abortion in Maine.
No.
But we, as Carol Connolly said of the Christian Civic League, the bill, the law that we had prior to LD 1619 was a hard-fought compromise between Republicans and Democrats.
It was.
And, you know, if you're pro-life, you didn't agree with it, but at least it was a compromise because it talked about, and I don't agree with the term viability because, you know, a baby out of the womb isn't viable either. Somebody has to care for it. But my only point was, Carol said repeatedly as that battle was going on over LD 1619, that was a hard-fought compromise between Republicans and Democrats. And then Janet, once again, broke her word, said she wouldn't change the law, was very clear about it. And 2 weeks in, she did. And it's the worst abortion law in the country.
I think
that's got to go.
I think the problem is, and like I've always said, I don't agree with, I have people that call and say, I can't believe you did this, or I can't believe you did that, whatever. I says, you know, I don't agree with myself 100% of the time.
Wow.
How am I going to agree with somebody else 100% of the time? And I've always believed, I have probably five, and it might be four, it might be six, what I call fall in the sword issues.
Yeah.
I am voting that way if every single person in my district calls me and tells me to vote the other way.
Yeah.
But I have four or five. Too many people today, everything is a fall in the sword issue.
True.
And everything
true.
Is not a fall in the sword issue.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that it, we keep fighting it as if it's a fall in the sword, and it's on both sides.
Yep.
This is not a, just a Republican thing, but it's a both sides
thing.
The
trouble is, if you're a Republican, Kenny learned this, they're going to paint
lie
you any way
you.
They want, and they're going to say you don't want anybody to be able to have
they
an
spent
abortion
in
for any
my
reason.
Race. They spent $25,000, which I thought was a little foolish, but if Democrats want to spend money in my race, go for it, saying I was going to outlaw abortion.
Yeah.
Now, how many times have I, where, you know.
Makes no difference.
I mean, it's.
Well, and like in my case, I mean, if people listen to the show, I'm probably the most pro-life person in Maine. I don't believe in exceptions or anything. I believe a baby is a precious gift from God. But I also don't believe that laws are going to change this.
Yeah.
I don't believe
hearts
it.
Hearts and minds.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hearts and mind issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe places like Lifehouse, Maine changes this dynamic where you actually give women a real choice. A lot of times these are younger women. They're scared. They're poor. The guys abandon them. Lifehouse, Maine will give them a year to go in, live there.
But the problem is, Ray, for 30 years or pick your number, Republicans have given this to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know.
There wasn't those groups.
Yep.
There wasn't those groups to help with adoption. There wasn't those groups to
absolutely.
Help with health care.
I agree.
There wasn't that. And now Planned Parenthood gets $600 billion, $60 billion a year from the federal government.
Which is insane.
Plus they own the state of Maine.
Yeah.
They own Maine. You're right, Bill. We got to run. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. John Herzog, and I am a third-generation osteopath. That means I'm kind of natural. I'm also a board-certified orthopedic surgeon and also board-certified in anti-aging medicine. Arthritis and inflammation and osteoporosis are all very important to me in orthopedics. The ingredients in the matrix, including calcium, vitamin K2, which makes the calcium work in the bones, it also builds collagen